Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I'm just back from Israel, and I'm going to give you a report this week, and I'm also going to talk about something that God caused me to become cognizant of, the power of return. It's the same as repentance. If you're going away from God, then you return. You turn to God and you repent. And that means to turn around. And so one of the things that we witnessed as we went to Israel is the process of returning to God that Israel is in right now. They came up out of those graves of the Holocaust. In 1945, the war was over. They came back, and in 1948, against all odds, they have a nation. In 1967, they got Jerusalem back. 4,000 years ago, remember, Moses never did go into the Promised Land, but 4,000 years ago, he talked to them about the blessings that they would know if they obeyed God and the cursings that would come upon them if they did not obey God. And the main one was they would be scattered. Deuteronomy 18:28, you will be scattered among all nations. Now, Moses sang a song to them. He gave them this prophecy. He never went into the land himself. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations, whether Jehovah your God has scattered you. And verse 2, you shall return unto the Lord your God, and you shall obey his voice. So before they ever even went into the Promised Land in the first place, the Lord prophesies to them through Moses that they're going to be scattered, but they're going to return. Verse 3, then the Lord your God will turn your captivity and have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations, whether the Lord your God has scattered you, even if you be driven out into the outermost parts of the heavens. From there will the Lord your God gather you. So they will return. And that power, it's so powerful, the power of that word that God gave them. And right now, we're witnessing, and we definitely witnessed on this trip of 90 people that I took to Israel, many of them young people, we witnessed this return. Since I think it's December of 2010, there are now more Jews living in Israel for the first time since the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD. For the first time, there are more Jews living in Israel than in the diaspora that are in the scattering. The miracle of the preservation of the nation of Israel through centuries of wandering in the wilderness, especially since 70 AD and the destruction of the Second Temple, this miracle is everywhere evident. They have come home from all over the world, even from some of the lost tribes now. We especially saw this in the inheritance of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, or as we say in English, Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. They had huge inheritances, huge tribal lands. And we especially saw this when we visited there, where people who know the scriptures have returned to the land and the Creator's instruction to rebuild the old cities. Now, this land of Ephraim and Manasseh and parts of Judah are the lands, the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36. They are what the world calls the West Bank. But we want to talk about the power of repentance. It was brought to me by a dream. You can listen yesterday and see why I'm thinking about this. But in Jeremiah 30 and 31, there is a book within a book that which gives you God's plan for Israel. And he says in verse 3 of Jeremiah 30, "The days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah." Israel's the northern, 10 northern tribes, Judah's the southern tribes, "saith Jehovah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." The law of return. They are returning to their God. The power of repentance. It's like a magnet that God has released, and they are coming home. They're coming home from all over the world. We spend a lot of time on what the world calls the West Bank. We always do. And I want to take you to chapter 31 for that. Jeremiah 31. "At the same time, saith Jehovah, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." Verse 3. "Jehovah hath appeared of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." There's a drawing in God that will draw you, individuals, to himself. And he is drawing Israel back to himself. Verse 4, "Again I will build thee," or "I will build you again." You were built before, now I will build you again. "And you shall be built, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry." Now, in the next two verses and on in the rest of this chapter, he's going to point out especially Samaria, or Shomron, and he's going to point out Ephraim, the land of Ephraim. Ephraim was the instigator of the greatest rebellion. I mean, it was other kings who were in the land of Ephraim. But of the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel, they are all referred to as Ephraim, as those 10 tribes were the largest instigators, the chief instigators in building golden calves, in setting up other places to come to worship. They told their people, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. Doesn't matter that God said that. You can come here. The idol worship in Ephraim was terrible. God said at one point, just leave Ephraim to his idols. Just leave him alone. And so it went from bad to worse, and it was so that in 722 BC, I believe it was, Assyria came and carried off the northern tribes. It was 200 years or so later before the southern tribes were carried off by Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. But Ephraim was the greatest of sinners. That was the place that the most horrible idol worship took place. And God says here in Jeremiah, he says here in, we were reading in the fourth verse of chapter 31, "I will build you again, O virgin of Israel." Now, Jeremiah prophesies before they ever went out. He's prophesying and before it happened, and he says, you're going to come back, and you're going to come back so pure that God, he will so have forgiven you that he's calling you a virgin. Now, remember that when the Jews went into idol worship, it was called harlotry. In other words, they were having relationships with other gods than the real God. But he says when they come back, it's going to be as though they were virgins. It was a virgin territory. "You shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria." Chapter 5. "The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there will be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise, and let us go up to Zion." I was going to Upan Akiva in Netanya, about 20 years ago. And I was taking a group because I heard that in this land of Ephraim, in Shomron, on what the world calls the West Bank, there was a hotel just built, brand new. And I could take people there. One of my teachers at the Upan called me aside and said, "Are you going to the Shomron?" "Yes." "Are you taking people?" "Yes." Now, a lot of people didn't go there because it was considered the West Bank. He said, "I think this may be you." And he showed me in the Hebrew Bible where it says, You shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Shomron, we say Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. He said, I don't know why Jeremiah used this word, but he said, it's not our normal word for watchman, and they have translated it watchman. Our normal word is shomer. But he said, Jeremiah used the word notrim. He said, notrim is the modern day word for Christians. He's the branch, the notzer, and we are the notrim who follow the branch. There shall be a day that the Christians up on Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise and let us go up to the Lord. So I went on over to Ariel, the capital of what you would call the land of Ephraim, or what the world calls the West Bank. And the mayor there, Mayor Ron Nachman, they had a building freeze. He greeted our group and he said, if you would go back to America and you would collect $1 from every Christian, we could build and we wouldn't have to be concerned about these other things. I said, I won't do that. I won't get a dollar from every Christian, but a man gave me a check for $5,000 before I came. And he told me to plant it somewhere in Israel. I want to plant it here, but there are strings attached. It says here that there will be vines planted upon the mountains of Samaria, and I don't see any grapevines. I do want you to plant some vines, I told Mayor Nachman. He said, no, you will plant the vines. He invited the press. He invited the Russians who had just come home. Actually, it was 1991. He invited the Russians who had just come home, and they were singing in a senior choir. And it was a big splash that here we were, and he gave us T-shirts, and he gave us certificates. I have fulfilled prophecy, planting vines on the mountains of Samaria. But it's like that. The prophecies of the Bible are literally fulfilled before our very eyes. And this trip, we went on, especially in the lands of Ephraim, and there we went to Itamar. Itamar is a town where not long ago the Fogel family was murdered as they slept. Itamar on what the world calls the West Bank. But the people are there because they know it's in the land of Ephraim, and they know that God told them to go there and to build the cities, and so they've gone there. You can go online and watch this Fogel family. Some terrorists came up, young men, hoodlums really, but thought they were doing the will of Allah, came up, murdered the Fogel family, the father and the baby. Terrible murder. The mother, some other children, and a daughter who'd been at the home of a friend and came back home, discovered them. There we found, in that place, we found wonderful people. Our kids played soccer with the people of, with the kids of Itamar. And we had wonderful fellowship as we were greeted by the man who was a spokesman. He was so friendly and he was so happy. And our group was so moved because they saw everywhere we went and the people are living in what the world calls the settlements. They saw faith and a good sense of humor. We would like for you to come and be with us as we explore the book of Revelation, August 3rd through 7. You can find out about it online, billybrim.org, or you can call 1-800-972-3447. We'd like you to register. It's not necessary, but we'd like to know that you are coming. And so be in contact with us. Meet us as we look at some of these things and the signs of the last days, as we see the signs of His coming revealed to us in the book of Revelation, just like we saw them all over Israel. Won't you be with us tomorrow?